time. We welcome all of our guests again. Thank you for being with us today. We hope you are being blessed. Thank you, Brother Walcott, for whatever you're doing and running me off and trying to get my mind all back together. What's going on? Look around. Isn't it a beautiful crowd today? Look at somebody and say, my, you are gorgeous. Hopefully no big guy's going to punch you. You can always cover it up by saying, my, you're George. Hebrews chapter 9. Not going to hold you long today, but God has a word. And I know in my heart and in my spirit that the Lord has come to help someone here today. This study has helped me tremendously while going through it and putting it together. One of those where the Lord has ministered to me personally in preparing for service today, and I know God is going to touch us. Haven't we had a wonderful time already in the house of the Lord? I wasn't in here, but I think the choir did all right. And he threw up a couple of brand new praise singer leaders, Sister Kamar and Sister, what was the other one? Tina, that's right. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know she could sing. Did a great job. Just kidding. They knocked it out of the ballpark. Fantastic job. Give them a hand. God bless them in Jesus' name. We are so blessed with all of the talent that God has just put in this place. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 1. Now, I'm feeling so much carnality here. Are we going to be able to bring this back in? Am I going to be able to preach? Is this going to be able to happen? Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is real. Tell somebody else he's here for you. Find one more person and say, you need him. All right, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine services, a worldly sanctuary. Everybody say a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims and the glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Paul is writing here, at least one of the assumed writers of the book of Hebrews is being Paul, is writing here about the old tabernacle. But he is trying to bring a relationship to what God has brought into being through Jesus Christ on the cross. And trying to show us that the old tabernacle was a type and a shadow of the powerful things of God to come. And that in comparison to what Jesus Christ has done for me and for you, the tabernacle and all the ways of the Old Testament are insignificant. If somehow you can get a revelation of what Jesus has indeed done for you, you will leave this place here today no longer condemned, no longer feeling as an outcast, no longer feeling hopeless, the feeling of having no tomorrow or no future will leave you. If you can get a revelation of what Jesus has done for you, you're going to leave this building here today set free by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every sin is going to be gone. Every weight is going to be taken away. You're going to feel the freedom of the Lord in your heart. Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that we feel in this sanctuary today. You've come to do a work in the heart and in the mind and in the spirit of men and women that are here right now in this place. You woke them up today. You brought them to the house of God this afternoon. You have brought them here because you have come to give them the gift of life. You have come to bless them. You have come to break the chains of bondage that is in their life. You've come to loose them and let them feel your love and your power to reign upon each and every one of them. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord. Will you lift your voice? Will you lift your voice to him? He is worthy of every praise. He's worthy of every shout. He's worthy of every dance. Hallelujah. My Lord, have mercy. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm excited because I can feel in the Holy Ghost what God is about to do for someone in this place. You have known him. You have experienced him. But he's about to put a joy inside of your heart like you have never known. You're going to find out today what it means to walk with your Jesus in power and in righteousness. And your life is going to be changed forever. Praise God. Praise God. Just look at someone and say, mercy covers it all. Tell somebody else, mercy covers it all. Now stay with me just for a few minutes while we get where we're going. After the children of Israel had taken their exodus out of Egypt, God met with Moses upon Mount Sinai, and he drew up these tablets, wrote upon them what has become known as the Ten Commandments. It is there a set of rules and laws was given which would govern the children of Israel. Not only the Ten Commandments, but many other laws that were written down and others that were brought together by the priests and the Levites. And these are a very complex set of laws which would govern their civil disagreements. It would talk about their health concerns, and it would govern the moral codes of their life and the religious practices that were to come. A very complex set of laws within the lengthy regulations by which the Jewish people were to live, where every detail of instructions regarding also this thing called the tabernacle of Moses. It was a place where God was going to meet with man, but it wasn't every day and all the time like you and I. But God would meet with man once a year, and he would only meet with one man in that tabernacle. This tabernacle was a curtain of walls that surrounded about 150 feet in length and about 75 feet wide. Within its tents were an altar upon which the burnt sacrifices were to be given. You would find within these canvases of skin a laver of water wherein ritualistic washing of the hands would take place. Then, of course, the tabernacle itself, the holy place, 15 feet wide, 30 feet long. There was a table of shoe bread where the priest would partake of, a candlestick which would light the area, and an incense burner which would send up praise to the Almighty God. Then beyond that was the place where only one man could go. Once a year, the high priest would enter. It was called the holiest of all, or the holiest of holies, that you may have heard it. This veil was between 3 and 4 inches thick. To this this day, nobody really knows how the priest got through it. Some people believe he was translated when he got through with everything in the first outer court, not the outer court, but the holy place there, that God's Spirit would literally transport him through the veil into the holiest of holies. Some say he crawled under, some say he went around. We really don't know how he got there. All we know is that he did. And once a year he stood before the presence of God. And upon that altar, he would fling the blood of the Lamb, which came from the altar from the outside. And the sins of Israel would be rolled forward. Once a year it would take place. Here in a 15-foot square area, the presence of God would show up. The Ark of the Covenant, the most valuable piece of furniture known to all of Israel, would be there. Now, it's been lost for hundreds of years, but rumor has it that they found it and they're hiding it. I don't know. No one knows. We'll have to wait and see what God does. It was a box made out of shittim wood, approximately 5 feet by 3 feet. It was overlaid with pure gold. The lid on top of it was known as, and everybody say it, the mercy seat. Say, the ark was covered with mercy. Now stay with me, for it was here that the blood of the Passover lamb would be placed upon this seat year after year after year on the Day of Atonement. On top of this mercy seat that covered the ark were two angels. Their wings stretched forward and would touch, two up, two out, two down, covering their feet, hiding their face, looking towards one another. There they were hovered over that mercy seat. Only the high priest could go in. It must have been an incredible sight. Can you imagine when the priest, whether he was transported, whether he just walked through it, however he got in there, year after year after year, layer after layer after layer of blood, he would make his way in there with his portion of blood and begin to sprinkle it upon this thing called the mercy seat. What an amazing sight it must have been. There was no candle in there to give light. The only light that came into that room was when the sacrifice was accepted and the power of God came down. And he hovered between the angels above the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God would fill that room. It must have overwhelmed that priest. Then God would take him out, and the sins of Israel would be rolled forward. My Lord, when we look into the Word of God, it is interesting to find what it was that was inside of that box. You see, God was very particular about everything he did, every instruction he gave, every sentence, every line, every dot, every I had a purpose with God. Man did not just casually interact with God. You don't just nonchalantly walk up to the Almighty. That's what's wrong with religion today. They think you can enter the presence of God in any old frame of mind and frame of heart. God is the Almighty. You enter his presence with respect. You enter his presence with love. That's why I believe we should act our best, dress our best, and everything we can. And I don't want to get off of this, and you can hate me when I say it if you want, but I'm here to tell you, I don't like what's going on in the religious world today, where they're showing up to church in shorts, and they're coming to the house of God, and all dressed down and ugly, when you know they got better. I don't care if that's the best you got wearing, but if you went to see the president, you would bet you would dress up. If you went to see the prime minister, you would dress up. If you went to see someone important, you would dress up. I've come to tell you, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he deserves your best. Okay, that's got nothing to do with anything. Be seated.
God was very particular in everything that he did. Man did not just casually enter into the presence of God. The word of the Lord tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse number 6. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand forth to the ark of God, took a hold of it, and the oxen shook. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. The lid that was atop it, the mercy seat, was not removed at a whim. You didn't just touch the ark. You didn't just enter into his presence and hand to him nonchalantly. There was a way and a method. And when he stepped out of line, God smote him. I've come to tell somebody today how to get in the presence of God and do it the right way. And let God bless you. Let God help you. Let God touch you. You don't just handle the ark of God any kind of way. You don't just do things any kind of way. You don't just carry God's presence any kind of way. There's a right way. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse number 19. And he smote the men of Bathsheba because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote the people 50,000. The word of the Lord says 50,000 and 60, which is 60, and 10 men. And the people lamented because the Lord hath smitten many of them. There was a great slaughter. All they did was walked up and peeked in. Friend, God was holy. God was righteous. There's a way to hand to him. There's a way to look at him. There's a way to walk in his presence. But listen, you don't have to fear him, because when the blood of Jesus is put upon you, it cleanses you. Sins are gone. You can boldly walk into the throne room of grace and be in the presence of an almighty God. I want to try to help us today. I'm trying not to rush, but I can feel myself rushing. But I'm really trying not to. So I'm going to take it two rush notches down. There were items in the ark. Now, first of all, one has to ask a question. Why would he put items in the ark at all? Isn't that kind of curious? Why? What is the purpose of that? Why are you even going to pick up anything and put it in the ark? Now watch me. You're going to put it in something that nobody's ever going to see. And you're going to seal it. And you're going to put it in a place that nobody can ever go. Except for one man once a year. And he doesn't dare touch the ark. So it's an incredible significance, I believe, that God is trying to show us here in his word. We find the instructions about putting these different things on the inside of here and covering them up with the mercy seat. We find nowhere in the word of God where they were ever taken out. There were instructions to put them in, but there were never instructions to take them out. So we ask the question, why would God do that? Well, let's look at what he put in there, and let's examine this and see what God will do today. First of all, there were the tables of stone in which God wrote upon, that he had physically put the law with his finger upon these stones. Secondly, there was a pot of manna in which he fed Israel with. Thirdly, there was a rod which had belonged to Aaron, which miraculously budded and showed all the people that Aaron was chosen of God. I have heard it said that these three items represent provision and authority in the word of God. And they certainly do. And there's no problem with that. I preached that before way back. But the Lord has showed me something that I want to talk about here today. I wonder if there's another message which is hidden here. For you see, none of these items have a glorious or glamorous background. When you look at these items, in fact, attached to every one of them is an act of rebellion. When you get into the history, before they were put in the ark, each one of these items, the result came out of rebellion of the children of Israel. Could it be that God was saying, I'm going to take the lasting symbols of the sins of my people, and I'm going to put them in a box, and I'm going to cover them with mercy, and I'm not ever going to let anybody take them out again. I've come to tell somebody here today, God is ready to hide your sins and never let anybody ever touch them again. Come on, let's worship Him. He's mighty. Woo! It's almost like God was saying, there's nothing they ever have done. There is nothing that they are doing, and there is nothing that they will ever do that I will not cover with my mercy. God's come to do that here today. What I'm preaching to you is that mercy still covers it all. No matter how many mistakes you have made, no matter how many failures in your past, no matter how many people remember all you've done, no matter what scars you carry, no matter how many people have given up on you, no matter if you've given up on yourself, no matter how hopeless it may seem, I've come to tell you, mercy will cover it all. Mercy covers sins of all time. Mercy covers all the things you've ever done wrong. Mercy covers the mistakes of yesterday, yesteryear, and forever. Mercy covers the record of your transgressions. Mercy covers all the times that things I'd like to go back and undo. Mercy covers every situation that brought shame to you, shame to your family, shame to your life. The mercy will cover it all. I'm trying to tell somebody here today, you can leave here without shame. You can leave here with hope. You can leave here with love. You can leave here with power. God will cover it. God will bury it. God will hide. Oh my Lord, let's worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Give God praise. I don't know, maybe you don't need anything covered, but I do. Maybe you're perfect, but I ain't. I need His mercy. I need His blood. Let the mercy seat cover. You see, there's people here today full of the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, baptized in Jesus' name, but you're still walking around with shame and hopelessness. If you'll get a hold of the revelation that the mercy of God will cover your wrong, He'll cover your sin, He'll wipe out your past, He'll cleanse you, He'll take away your shame. He'll take away your condemnation. He loves you. He'll put it in the ark. He'll cover it up. And He won't let nobody touch it. Think about it. When one man just touched it, He killed him. He said, no man gets into what's inside that ark. But then somebody got brave and raised the lid, and he slew 50,000. He said, I said what I had buried under mercy. Nobody. Nobody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. God ain't gonna let the devil get it. God ain't gonna let man get it. He's buried it. It's under mercy. It's gone. God don't want you messing with your past, and God don't want nobody else messing with your past. Woo! You better be careful when you bring up somebody's past sin and start judging them. God don't appreciate it. He covered it with his blood. It's in his heart. The mercy seat's on. Somebody shout, his mercy covers it all. Psalms 118 and 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. How long is his mercy going to cover my sin? How long is his mercy going to cover your shame? How long is his mercy going to cover your wrong? How long is his mercy going to cover your hopelessness? Come on, somebody, it endures forever. His mercy never wears out. His mercy never gets tired. It never wears thin. Nothing's ever going to permeate it. Nothing's ever going to get through. It covers every wound. It covers every hurt. It covers every disappointment. It covers every broken heart. His mercy covers it all. For thy mercy, 108 and 4, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth revealeth under the clouds. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon your name. Be seated, Brother Kyle. How do I get my sins in there? How do I get my wrongs in there? How do I get my shame in there? How do I get my passion there? How do I get it somewhere where it's locked up, covered by the blood, never to be revealed? When I stand before God, I've been cleansed by him. How do I get in there? I'll tell you how you do it. You stand to your feet. You throw up your hands. You begin to call upon your God. You repent of your sins, and the mercy of God will come down. Just a few more minutes. We're going to go through these quickly. We look at the three items that are in the ark. Exodus. The word of the Lord tells us in the book of Exodus. In their impatience, they begin to call on Aaron to make them a god. We heard a story. He made this little false god. And Moses comes down. He hears the noise. He sees everything's going on. You know what's amazing about this? Is that this is just a few days away from God opening up the Red Sea, and from God destroying the most powerful army known to man, the Egyptian army, drowning 600 chariots with all of the foot soldiers and horsemen of Pharaoh, delivering Egypt, walking across, delivering Israel out of Egypt, walking across dry ground over into the promised land, drowns them. This comes after these incredible, mighty miracles of the plagues in which God went into Egypt to bring deliverance unto his people. And after Moses is only gone for just 40 days, he's up in a mountain. The people begin to say, where's our God? We don't know where Moses is. Aaron, make us a god. They put their gold together, pulled off their rings and earrings and bracelets and all the gold, everywhere they had taken out of Egypt. God never intended them for the wear of that. He had them take the gold so that they could build a tabernacle, but leave it up to man to mess God's plan up. They took it all off. They threw it in the fire. And old Aaron says, I don't know what happened. It just came out of Gab. I don't know how it happened. Yeah, right, Aaron. You formed it. You fashioned it with your own hands. You made it come to pass. Moses is coming down the mountain. You know what happened. He became so angry. He threw the tablets down. They broke into pieces. So do you understand that the tablets that were in the ark were not the original tablets? They were broken into pieces. The tablets that were put in the ark were the tablets that were associated with the rebellion of Israel. The tablets that attached to those tablets, that the reason why they had to be rewritten was because Israel had begun to serve and to worship other gods. And because of this, he had to redo the tablets. And those are the ones that went into the ark. God said, I don't want anything lying around where my people can see where I put it. Put it in some place where nobody can look on it. Put it somewhere where nobody will ever see it. I don't want it going out everywhere all the time. time that my people were in rebellion. I want to cover this up with my mercy. I want to cover it up with my goodness. Isn't that what God does for us? My God, have mercy. If we were to rip the mercy of God away from you, the only thing in this building is a bunch of drunkards, a bunch of drug addicts, a bunch of wife beaters, a bunch of pornography, a bunch of incest, a bunch of immorality. That's what's in this building, but it's covered up. It's covered up. It's washed. It's cleansed. And now we look at you. It looks like you lived for God all your life. You look like you've been perfect all your life. Why? Because God has hid your sin. God has covered it with His mercy. Now when you shake men's hands, they feel a kind spirit, a loving spirit, a gentle spirit. Not that old hard, rule, carnal, ugly spirit that used to dwell in you. That's been put in the ark. It's covered with the mercy. And don't dare anybody lift the lid and try to look at my past. Just a couple more moments later, Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, they took a journey. Congregation of children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. There between Elim and Sinai, the 15th day, the second month after the departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of children of Israel, they begin to do what? They begin to do what y'all do so well. They begin to murmur. They begin to complain. They talked against Moses. They talked against Aaron. They came against him. He said, went on to say, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died at the hand of the land of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots. Bring us back to the fat, juicy meat steaks over there. Let us go back to Egypt with the garlic and the onions. We'd rather die there in sin than live sacrificially in freedom. Isn't that the world today? Isn't that religion today? Religion says, I don't want to live sacrificially. Let me live in sin. Let me enjoy the steak and the onions and all of that stuff and still be called the children of Israel. God said, no, you got to come out of that. There's a life of sacrifice that you have got to live. He said, we'd rather have died in Egypt and sat by the flesh pots. And when we did eat bread to full, and we had brought us forth into the wilderness to kill us and the whole assembly of hunger. 15 days after the last incident, God had just redone the tablets and had just slayed all of these people. And now 15 days later, Israel's right back into their murmuring, right back into their doubting. And we know the story here. So the next morning they get up, and we've already preached on this a while back, and there were the little dots of manna on the ground. What is it? And there they were, the little things of God in your life. And so they walk out and they say, I don't, what is this? God said, Moses, I want you to get a pot of this and I want you to put it in the ark. I'm going to cover it with the mercy seat, because this represents when my people doubted me. So now God's got two things in the ark. He's got your past. When you used to worship other gods, you worship the god of alcohol, you worship the god of lust, you worship the god of money, you worship the god of pride, you worship the god of carnality, and you lived in sin. God took those tablets and He put them in the ark. Now God is going to take your doubt, when you doubted that He would ever provide for you, when you doubted He'd ever bring you out, when you doubted He really loved you, when you doubted He'd take care of you, when you doubted He'd walk with you, when you doubt it, He'll deliver you. God said, I'm going to take that doubt. I'm going to put it in the ark. I'm going to cover it with mercy. God's going to take away your shame. He's going to take away your doubt. He's going to take away your heartache. He's going to pull it all out of your life. And you're going to walk out of here believing God. And you're going to walk out of here knowing He's the true God. Worship Him for a moment. I'm almost coming to a close, just about getting there. Lord wants you to know He's going to cover it all. And so there was one last thing. Numbers chapter 16. Korah, Dathan, Abram, and on. 250 men of influence. They get together. They begin to come against Moses. And they begin to judge. And they said, we can rule. And we can do this. And we can do that. And so God says, okay, I'm going to let them know who is in charge and who I have chosen. Book of Numbers chapter 16 verse 41. He tells them to take the rods and put them inside of the tabernacle. And that in the morning when you go in there and you look, he said, there we're going to find out which one of the rods are going to bud. And so they take the rods and they put them in there. The wrath of God is so strong in this process. 14,700 people die. But in the morning when they got up, the word of the Lord tells us that Aaron's rod budded. But God looked down on that rod and he said, that rod represents a coup. It represents people coming against my leadership, coming against the men and women that I have chosen, coming against what I've put in their life, and not just pastor position. That's not what I'm talking about, but things that God had put in your life to lead you and to guide you. And instead of accepting it, we rebel against it sometimes. We touch it. We cast it out of the way only to end up in shipwreck. We come back crying out to God. He puts us back up in the place, back in the path, because he's a loving God. He says, that's what this rod represents. It represents rebellion. He said that rod was a memento of the darkest season of Israel's history. He said that rod, it reminds me of 15,000 funerals. He said that rod will haunt Israel's memory if I don't put it out of their sight. And so he said, Moses, put it in the ark, cover it with my mercy seat. God's come to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or what's in your past. His mercy. Can cover it all. Let's stand. Music come. And so he said, take that ark. Take that ark. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. He said, take that ark. And he said, you take this lid. And you call this lid the mercy seat. I'm glad he put the word seat on it. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because when God gets through putting my sin in that ark, he sits on it. Woo! And he says, anybody want to dare to take a peek? Is there any devil big enough to come raise this lid and look at my child's past? I put it in the ark. I've covered it with my blood. I put the mercy seat on top of it. And every year, I don't know how he got in there. I like the spooky way. That's cooler than crawling under. Transport it through. And he's got the blood every year. Reaches his hand into it. What are you throwing the blood on, priest? What's inside that ark? Every rebellion. Every sin, every doubt, every murmur, every wrong, and the blood year after year after year after year after year after year, till you couldn't even see the gold anymore. The blood just kept coming. What's under the lid? All my sins. All my rebellion. All everything I've ever done. My immorality. My doubt. It's under the blood. And every day I get up, I throw my hands in the air and I say, Jesus, cover me with another layer of your blood. My God, have mercy. I don't know how you're taking it. I don't know how you're staying there. The altar's open. If you need God to touch you today, if you're here and there's things you need God to cover, there's something you want to put inside of that ark, I'd make my way down to this altar. I'd say, God, I'm bringing this. I'm bringing that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm putting them in that ark. Because I need you to cover them. Come on, don't be ashamed. We've all done wrong. Don't be ashamed. We've all done wrong. We've all messed up. Some of us full of the Holy Ghost baptized. We got things we need to put in the ark. I want God to sit on that thing. Never let it out. Never let it stray. How dare any man to lift it? How dare any man or devil to touch it? It's been put under the blood. It's covered by the blood. Come on, sir. Ma'am, you're here today. Every eye closed. Every mind on God as we call on God right now together. Come on, sir, ma'am. Don't stay where you're at. Don't hold back. God's touched your heart today. While this old preacher was preaching, you were saying to yourself, I want to put my past in that ark. I want to take the pain that's in my heart. And I want to put it in that ark. All the things that I wish I could go back and undo. I wish I never said it. I wish I never did it. I wish I'd have never wrote it. All those things, I want to take them. And I want to put them in that ark. I want to hide them. I never want them out. I want to put my shame in there. My embarrassment in there. My pain. Because I've caused harm to others, or others have caused harm to me. I just want to take it out. I want to put it in that ark. I want to hide it. And I want the mercy seat of God to cover it. As though it never happened. Never letting any devil touch it. Never letting any man or woman touch it. It forever. My past, my ever wrong, my every thought, my every word, my every deed. Covered by the mercy seat of God. Covered by the mercy seat of God. Sir, you can do that today. Ma'am, you can do that today. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. God's in this altar right now. He's called you to this place for this reason. He's brought you here today for this reason. He wants you to call out to Him. He wants you to call out to Him. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Young man, young lady. Come on, dad. Mom. We got some things we need to put in that ark. We got some things we need to bury. We need to put under that mercy seat of God. So that they'll never be remembered against us again. Don't worry, nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to know. And it's never coming out again. Because His mercy endures forever. Oh, let your soul cry out to Him. let your soul cry out to Him. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to put joy inside your heart. He wants you to leave here today with every thought of condemnation gone, every thought of failure gone, every thought of hopelessness gone. God's going to put it in the ark. He's going to cover it with a mercy seat and blood. Give it to Him today. Give it to Him today. You don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know where I've been. It doesn't matter. His mercy covers it all. His mercy covers it all. His mercy covers it all.
mercy is here today. His mercy has come to touch us. Mercy is here. Grace is free. Hallelujah. His pardon can be multiplied. Let His mercy touch us today.
I'm going to worship You forever. I'm going to worship You.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to worship You forever. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to worship You forever. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to worship You.
Today. Your blood, Lord, has come to touch us. And I pray today that every heart, every mind, oh God, this place, oh God, will be at Your mercy. Oh, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, for Your love. We appreciate You, Lord. We thank You that You have been so kind to us. Extend Your loving kindness and Your mercy. Oh, let Your mercy flow through us. Oh, hallelujah. Grace and mercy has come to entertain us today. Oh, to let us know it's all in Him. We are complete in Him because of His love towards us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray You touch every heart around this altar. Every heart that's desiring of Your grace today, Lord, and Your mercy. We pray with arms outstretched, Lord. Touch us, Lord, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Ah, we all will come to let You know. Lord, we are thankful. Your blood covers all. Hallelujah. We're hanging by the thread of mercy. Touch our hearts today. We've encouraged, Lord, that we can't go too far where You cannot reach us. So I thank You today, Lord, for coming to our rescue. Lord, You're merciful to us. Oh, we are thankful, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for the divine strength that we gather today. Thank You for Your love that undergird us and Your mercy that surrounds us. Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful.